Welcome to Many Messages. I'm Brother James, and this is an interview with a homeschool mom. If you have any other questions about homeschooling or the process that me or my wife go through, feel free to email us or email me at brotherjames@brotherjamesparty.com. That's brojames@brojamesparty.com. Or you can also visit www.hsdla.org. The link for that will be in the description. Feel free to venture over to their site, look through. They have links to all the Department of Education for all 50 states, and I think even the territories like Puerto Rico and Guam. So please feel free to surf their site. It's always free to look at what they got going on. You only have to pay for their professional services. They're willing to offer all the information that possibly can to get you started homeschooling. And I hope to hear from you and maybe be able to help you in the future if you have any questions. Again, that email address is brotherjames@brotherjamesparty.com. Thank you for listening. So, welcome to the show. And this isn't going to be like the typical episode that I usually have, mainly because a lot of things have changed in our lives in the last month. After multiple attempts and a long time of trying and a lot of persistence, I have finally gotten a promotion at my regular job that obviously provides for our family. And it's been a long time coming. We've been praying a lot for a long, long time for that. And that's a whole nother episode about persistence and prayer and pursuing those goals. And we'll discuss that on a later episode. But it is August. That means back to school for a lot of people. And this year has had its roller coasters. It is a lot of ups and downs. And here with me today is my wife, Carissa. And we do school differently because we homeschool. Our kids don't go to public school. They homeschool for 4 years now. I think this is 4 years now. Carissa, do you want to give us some background on some of the hows and whys as to our homeschooling?
Okay. So we do homeschool. We have been. This is our fourth year homeschooling. We started when our oldest was in fifth grade, and she's now going to begin her ninth grade. So this is our fifth year. We just completed 4 years, and we will start our fifth year. We do a traditional schedule where we do 180 days of instruction, 5 days of school a week. I follow our local county's school plan so that we are able to have time with our family because their kids do go to public school. We've done private school. We started out in the private school setting with our daughters. And we really did enjoy the private school. Then we did go to public school for 1 year. And it was different. We were very accustomed to private school and being very involved with the teachers and helping.
Okay. So, obviously, we're Christians. I know we're Christians, so we obviously tack Christian values onto our school setting and everything. We actually have a school verse that we've chosen. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Our school verse is Proverbs 2, chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. And we chose that because we realized that God is the only one that gives us our knowledge, our wisdom, and you gotta have understanding to have that wisdom. Sort of, you can have the knowledge, but if you don't understand it, it comes down to it.
Absolutely. So, you know, with that, obviously we're Christians, so would you know, there's a stereotype out there that all homeschoolers are conservative Christians.
Right wing.
Yeah, and we know that's not necessarily true, but you know, there's that stereotype, and there's a lot of stereotypes for homeschooling.
I think homeschool has consistently had a bad rap. I know when we were younger, even your brother, because your brother's older than us, I think it was illegal even in your brother's time.
I think so.
For even in America to homeschool. And so we get to stand on their accomplishments and their fight for our rights to have this homeschool. But we're not all right-wing or conservative Christians. Homeschool is a very diverse group, just like you would get in a public school.
Right.
There are some left wings, there are some liberals, there's atheists, there's Scientology type schools. It's interesting to see the different formats. I think most people associate homeschool as a very narrow-minded way, because it is seen as, oh, you're keeping your kids at home in this bubble to protect them, or you're keeping them home because you're going to have, that's abuse. And we've seen that in the news, that this family kept 10 kids in their basement, and it's child neglect. That's completely wrong, and that's not what homeschool is about.
Right, that's not saying that instances don't happen, but they happen in public school just as much. I mean, it's still very rare.
It is. And you can say, well, in public school, there's teachers there that can notify Child Protective Services or the Department of Health, or however it's set up, your social workers are set up in your areas. But there are areas where teachers are afraid to make those notifications. And so there's abuse going in public school system that goes without being notified,
mm-hmm.
because even the administrations and teachers are afraid to notify them.
Right. So, you know, there's also the stereotype that homeschoolers are all anti-public school, and
I'm not.
I mean, if that's what works best for your family, then that's probably the route you need to take. And I think that's the stance that both of us take on that, is we know our families, we know our children, we know what's going to work best for our children. And so we try and encourage people to gravitate toward those decisions, making those decisions for yourself.
And we did. We did private school. We did public school.
Mm-hmm.
We've done homeschool. Out of the three, we really do like homeschool. Our second was private. I think we both can agree the private school we were at was the best. There were great things about public school that we loved and wished that we could continue having those aspects. But for our family, homeschool works for us.
So,
because I like being involved in our children's lives.
Yeah.
I think that's the big thing.
There's also the speculation that homeschool kids aren't social. And I think that has only really become true, and this is my opinion, with the changes that have happened with COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, what we've experienced as homeschoolers, and this is my point of view, is they're very social. They're actually probably more social than public school kids in the aspect that they get to talk to a more diverse group of people, because they spend more time with adults and children of all different ages at different times and in different settings. But because of all the shutdowns, we've had a lot of changes in homeschool too. And a lot of public school kids are going home and doing distance learning, and they're calling it homeschool, and they think, oh, this is easy, this is what the homeschool kids have always done, and it's not. Our world got turned upside down also, didn't it?
It did. Our goings have stopped. Co-op meetings have stopped. Those extracurricular activities, sports, gymnastics, all that got to stop also.
Our favorite field trips.
Yeah, we do field trips too. And we do them with a homeschool group. And then I'm really bad about, no, I'm tired of that book. I don't want to do that book anymore. Let's go outside, especially if it's a pretty day.
So with that being said, you know, it's a pretty diverse background. It's a pretty diverse group of individuals. Like you said, it's a lot of different people. And I think another route a lot of people take is homeschool is a one-style-fits-all thing, and it's really not. There are actually lots of ways to homeschool. You want to talk about some of the different types of homeschooling that we've explored and some that we know of that we haven't?
I think there's several different types of homeschool, and the ones that I can talk about are the ones that we've explored. We've done the online academy where it's an accredited private school that has an online format, which has teachers and you have deadlines to meet. And I think that's probably very similar to what public school is doing with their distance learning through Canvas. Because when we did Liberty University Online Academy, we had Canvas also, and it was done through. And it, to me, it was very similar to what...
I even used Canvas when I got my master's degree. So, I mean, it's a popular tool.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. It was very similar when we were in college and had online courses. It was, and that was how that setup was for Liberty. And it's probably easy for Liberty because they are a college.
Right.
So they already had that setup. They did not have a set time that you had to click in and have a roll call, so to speak, or meet face-to-face through meetings with your teachers, which was nice because that gave you the flexibility, which I think, especially in our area, the distance learning is going to be you log in like you are logging in at time if you're going to school. So say you had your math class at 8 in the morning, you have to log in at 8 o'clock in the morning, which... that's a little different with homeschool. It's not set up that way.
Right.
So there are several online platforms that has that. Then you've got several, I don't even know how many curriculum where it's the traditional, whether it's a workbook or online media, whether it's a USB or you connect through online. And we have in the past done the workbook type, and I've enjoyed that because it's everything inclusive. It's your class material, it's your test, it's your classwork, it's your big unit test. So in the ones that we've done, you have 10 books, and that goes for your 180 days. And when you finish a book, you have this big test that's comprehensive of basically everything you've learned up to that book.
Right.
So sometimes it's just that book, and sometimes they'll pull from previous books. And especially when you hit book 10, it's the whole year's worth of material. So it is nice. So you've got that. Then you've got some type of what's considered unschooling, and I don't really like that term. I know where the term comes from, and I understand it. Personally, I don't like the unschooling because it sounds like you're anti-school. But you really are learning, you're teaching for the way your child learned.
Right.
So say your child is extremely gifted and knows at an extremely young age that they want to go into the medical profession. Well, you can teach solely on that medical profession.
Right.
So everything you do is based upon that. Or if you know you are on a ranch and your child is going to inherit that ranch and wants to, then their school is based upon the day-to-day operations of the ranch and to progress it forward. Not necessarily that's what happens, but that is to an extent.
That's the idea behind it. And then they get their core learning, of course, math, language.
But it's done
but it's based toward the practical side of whatever they're planning on doing in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Which I could see how that could probably work at a junior high, high school setting. Maybe not so much elementary. But I know that there are some parents who carry that through the entire setting.
So, I think it's really based upon your child, and that's how we've taken it.
Right.
We've tried, when we first started, we did Liberty. I wanted the structure of a real school. We did come from a private public school setting background, and so it was easy to say this is what we wanted. We liked that it was a Christian school. That was one of the things that we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also hoping in our area that because it was an accredited school, that it would be seen as a private school and not have the connotation that homeschool has. Even though we have a great many homeschoolers in our area, it can still be seen as
right.
a negative thing to homeschool. And so I was hoping, well, if we had this, what school do you go to? Oh, we go to Liberty University Online. It sort of negated that, and in reality, it didn't.
Right. So, yeah, I know last year we started something a little different. We kind of dropped some of our workbooks, and you kind of took over the curriculum more freehand, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did a more freestyle type of learning. This was last year was our last year to where I don't have to have a true documentation. In our state, I don't have to really document
right.
what we're doing. I do, don't get me wrong, I do document everything I do just in case anything is said or done. But I don't have to send it off to the state or have some person overlook me, where in some states you do.
Right.
So this is my last year of real, true, free independence, or the way I looked at it, because our oldest is going into high school. She starts ninth grade, so that means I'm going to have to really document what she does, because we do want her to go to college. I don't necessarily push her for 4 years. She is our free spirit. She's very artistic. I would really love for her to at least have an AA, just a general
yeah.
2-year degree, but she's our artist. That's what she does. She draws all the time. So it was our last year to have a little bit more fun in school. So we dropped a lot of our workbooks, the majority of our workbooks, really, and her and her younger sister. And we just really focused on things that they wanted to focus on. So we focused on the Founding Fathers, which was really interesting. We did 2 months worth of our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and looked at those legal documents. And that was our history and our language. So it was really interesting to see how our Founding Fathers wrote and spoke legally in the 1770s versus how we speak and legally write today.
Yeah.
So I pulled up some legal documents today that would have been the same, and we got to see some of our 1992 bill, that our last amendment. So we got to see how it's worded versus how the first couple are worded. And it's interesting because the first 10 Bill of Rights, James Madison wrote them, and he actually wrote the last bill that was passed in 1992, and he wanted it. He wrote 12 or 13, and 12 passed and one didn't, and this was the last one of his that's passed. The other one probably won't ever pass, but it's pretty interesting to see. And so we got to see how that worked, and both of the girls have enjoyed it. We got to do a little bit more artistic. So when we learned about science, we did habitats, and they had to build habitats.
Yeah.
And I let them work together, so it wasn't such a big process.
So it sounds like we've got Well, you've got, because I'm usually at work, you've got a good bit of experience last 4 years going into your fifth year as a homeschool mom. And of course, there's been a lot of changes with everything that's going on, also with us. I mean, our zoology class went from trip to the zoo to watching animals in the backyard. I mean, that was
Netflix and prom.
Yeah, so,
were a great thing.
They're actually pretty good tools with that. YouTube is actually a really good tool. Know mm-hmm. who you're watching.
Yes.
So
know who you're watching.
Advice for parents who might be looking at homeschool or coming up school year. Anybody going to any kind of school that's coming up school year, because I know a lot of parents have a lot of worries with what's going on. They don't know what the school's going to do or how the school year's going to be. So any kind of advice you might give to the anxious parents out there?
Pray. I mean, pray over your children. Pray over your school. If you are the parent that, you know, you both work, and we live in a time where it does take two parents. I know that you're probably listening to this thinking, oh, well, he must make a bunch of money to support this. No, this was a sacrifice. Us choosing
Absolutely.
To homeschool. And maybe one day he will explain what happened. because I'm not. But it was a sacrifice. I did have to quit my job. And I came home. I was a stay-at-home mom when the kids were little. So this wasn't the first time we've been in one income family, but it was nice having the two incomes, and we've always been able to have our house as a one income. So even when I worked, my income was more a supplement, never
mm-hmm.
was something we used as, and that was something we both decided early in our marriage, that you were our provider. And if I provided anything, it was a supplement. It was never to be seen as a necessity. But I think the biggest thing, especially as Christian parents, is to pray. Pray over your teachers. Pray over your school. Pray over your school board as they make these decisions. There's a lot of stress on our school boards right now.
Pray over your decision. I mean, that's going to be the first one that really matters right now.
It is, whether you choose to put your child in public school or do the distance learning, or you've made the decision, hey, this is what I want to do, and I've been on that fence thinking about it, and now I'm going to homeschool. Prayer is going to be your thing. Realize that if you decide to homeschool, you're going to make mistakes. I've made mistakes. I've gotten short-tempered with my kids. It's not all roses and sunshine and rainbows, and it's tough. It's probably one of the hardest things I've done, and I only have two, and I am so thankful they're both girls, and they both have a very sweet spirit, so I don't have a boy climbing and hitting and, you know, I wouldn't even know how to deal with that, I guess, probably. Maybe if I had, you know, from beginning to now, but we have daughters, so, poor James, only now.
Yes.
But, prayer, just keep praying, if you decide to homeschool, for your own sanity. Make sure you've got time for yourself at some point, and because that is needed. If you're not doing it, the burnout is real, and it does happen. And you are going to get tired at some point, whether it's in spring when it's pretty, or you decide at Christmas time. My burnout is at Christmas. I love Christmas. And I don't want to be doing book work at Christmas time. So we do set our schedule so I have a longer break at Christmas. And so the girls and I decorate the house. We decorate outside. We bake. We go visit.
Yeah, usually we take our test a week early. And while the public school cousins are doing their testing, y'all are doing all this other stuff.
And we are shopping and wrapping and But Christmas really is for me a time of just complete joy, and I can't be in, I can't. Once it's like once December 1st rolls around, I want done with the books.
It's time to wrap it up. After Thanksgiving, it's like get back to school, wrap it up, and let's get done. And I think the girls are right along with you on that.
So it doesn't hurt that we put our Christmas tree up like the Saturday after Thanksgiving either. I mean, as soon as those live trees are ready, we have one. But Christmas, it is a big time for us, and we love it. But advice, be prepared for change.
Mm-hmm.
What you think you have planned may not work, or things happen. I am a big planner, and my plan for March, April, and May got messed up completely.
Yeah.
Just because I homeschool doesn't mean COVID did not mess me up. It did, and I was...
That's our field trip season. I mean...
that is our running and going and doing, and I'm at the zoo probably every week. We have the zoo membership, and I am there.
Between that and museums?
Yeah. Especially because I was having that was my zoology. We were having 3 months of zoology. We had done habitats, and then we were going.
Yeah, you had planned on specifically staying in one exhibit at every visit and getting to know everything you could about that exhibit. And I thought it was a great plan, and it got messed up.
So life happens. I mean, you could have a death in the family, and you have to travel. Things happen in life, and that's what's great about homeschool is, okay, I can adjust, I can make that decision.
But one thing we have learned with homeschooling is when life happens, you can make it a class.
Yeah, everything.
Those unexpected trips can become classes.
Yeah, everything in homeschool can be a lesson learned.
It can.
But it is, the advice is just have fun, enjoy yourself. Especially homeschool. Laugh at your mistakes. Laughter goes a long way. And have fun. You only have your child in your house for a limited time. Whether you choose to public school or private school or homeschool, make those times with your children meaningful. It would be so easy to lump my children together and not have that one-on-one time. But I desperately want that one-on-one time. So I make sure that there are certain classes that is one-on-one time.
Yeah.
Whether it's all classes or just a few. And it's that time that we get one-on-one to talk, to discuss, to laugh, to play. And our relationship, I will say, has been the best. With my daughters together and individually has probably been the best. For a very long time.
I'd probably add also that something I didn't consider when we first started, and it's something I didn't even think to consider when we first started, is the legalities of homeschool and how they're different from state to state. And we had looked at that because we had considered moving at one point, and we were looking at the legalities of homeschool in different states.
You're right, that's one we hit, that our state was a great state to homeschool.
It really is.
In that it really doesn't have a lot of oversight. In some places that could be a drawback if you're not prepared or ambitious enough to keep a schedule and you push forward. It'd be really easy, especially with COVID and with me dealing with anxiety. You can flip that, and it's really easy to go into depression. And mm-hmm. It could have been really easy for me to say, oh, I'm done, we're not going any further, there's no point in it, and go into that full-blown depression and not do school.
Right.
And I didn't. I was really, and I will say that I'm not patting myself on the back, I was really proud that it did not happen that way.
I think part of it, too, is our children love to learn. And so they pushed you, let's just go ahead and finish it. And
yeah.
I think that helped a lot, too.
Well, And also, I was able to sit down and say, okay, well, this is where your mom's at.
Right.
I've been, especially since my oldest is getting big enough, old enough, she's seeing some of those markers of anxiety. And so it's being honest with them, saying, okay, this is what's going on.
Right.
How does this work? And so it was them pushing to continue. And this was also part of their favorite time. We hopped and skipped in history. So we were talking about the Wild West, the 1920s. I mean, you're talking about when rodeo started. And I'm going to say this, I'm not a rodeo person. I cringe every time I see a man get on a bull. I think that is, I don't know, what in the world is he thinking? But this is, the Wild West is when that started. And why did it start? The 1920s with the glitz and glamour.
We missed out on the visit with your dad. We might have seen the rodeo while we're out there.
I know, we missed going to Texas.
He's in Texas, so. But one of the best resources I can think of for people looking into homeschooling is HSLDA. I think it's one of the best resources. One, because they lay it out simple for you, what your state requires.
Well, their website is great. It's the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And so you can have a subscription, a yearly subscription, or lifetime membership, I think, that they can do also. Or it's so many years.
Right.
They have several options that you can do. And it's nice because you have the legal defense if anything happens. If you miss paperwork filing or something's changed in your state and you don't know about it, they're great about keeping you up to date with the information.
Or your neighborhood Karen calls Child Protective Services.
There's a lot
it
of
happens.
Stuff that they can. Well, that's a fear a lot of homeschoolers
they
have
do.
Too. And then Heritage Defense is another one.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't give the state-by-state legal. Heritage is a little bit different. It also deals with like child custody. So if you went through a divorce and one parent wants homeschool and one parent doesn't, they deal more, I think, with that involvement, the personal involvement.
I know HSLDA does. On their website, and I find that it's pretty easy to use, but you can basically click on your state, and they've researched all your homeschool laws in your state and lay it out in simple form so you know exactly what you're supposed to do.
And each state has legal representation.
They do.
So if there's an issue that comes up, you can call them, and they get you to those attorneys that are able to help you.
And it's a great place that if you're looking to move, they have links to the Department of Education in every state so you can see what's going on in those states as well.
And if you have the membership and the subscription with them, then they provide transcripts for you. They help you in your moving process
mm-hmm.
with the legalities of homeschool
right.
to make sure that you have transferred from one to the other. And make sure that you don't over give information either. Sometimes it's easy as homeschoolers to say all of the verbal diarrhea, I guess you could call it, because we want people to think that we're doing all this great stuff, and sometimes less is more.
Right. So I think that's a really good resource. I've put the link in the description, so anybody who's looking into it, they're welcome to click there, go surf their site, and see what they need to do to get started. So, moving on from there, is there any kind of encouragement you would like to give somebody? Because I know a lot of people looking at it are going to be anxious, and they really do need the encouragement. So, is there anything you'd like to tell people?
I think as a mom, we have anxiety over everything with our children.
Right.
We worry about, are they dressed appropriately? Do they have the right enough clothes to be in the right group of friends? So it's the right group of friends, not the wrong group of friends. And I don't quite understand the right and wrong group of friends, but that's our thought process.
Right.
Dads
think a little differently. Am I providing enough? Is there food on the table? Will the lights stay on? You know, stupid things that we shouldn't have to think about because we know it's taken care of, but that's what dads think about.
I think we think more of the social aspects
Right.
of it. But
Who's that boy talking to my dog? That's that's about as social as it gets for dads, especially dads with daughters.
probably the same thing as with on the opposite.
With moms with sons. Who's that girl?
Again, I don't have any sons. I don't know. I'm just assuming at that point. But the only thing I can say is, as a Christian, keep prayer first. With all things, and especially with my anxiety, there's a lot of little prayers. Okay, God, I know I'm not supposed to be anxious about this because I know you're in control, not me.
That's right. Everybody needs a constant.
It's a lot of, okay, I don't quite understand this that's going on in the world, and it's affecting everything. It's affecting how we go get groceries. It's affecting our dietary needs. Some of the stuff that we absolutely need is harder to find now.
Yeah.
And so when you start looking at that, that's a lot of anxiety. Wearing the mask can be very anxious for me. So it's limiting how much contact I have outside the house. And then that puts anxiety on me because I'm stuck in the house and not able to go anywhere.
It's a lot easier to read people's faces when you can see their mouth. And so the mask has made me more anxious about people. I mean, so.
So we're living in a world where there's a lot of fear right now. And I think as Christians we have to realize that fear doesn't come from God. That's not how God corrects us. It's not what God uses to teach us, and that we have to just realize that fear is something that is not from God, and to keep telling them, okay, this is where my anxiety is coming from, this is where that fear is coming from, I know you're in control, and how do I do this? How do I, as a mom, make this work? How, as a parent to a child in school, if you're the type that you are adamantly going to put your kids in public school or in private school, in that in-house, because whether you both work or you think your child needs that instruction, the teacher there, and I agree, all that that teacher is very adamantly needed, then pray. Pray over your school, pray over your school board, pray over your teachers, pray over your classroom, and pray over your child. Put that armor of God. You get that opportunity as their parent. Especially those younger ones that don't know to. You know how to pray that armor on your children. Pray it on them and cover them. Cover them so that God has that protection. And then feed them correctly. I think our nutrition's a big idea of how to keep ourselves healthy.
Yeah.
So I know that as we've homeschooled, we eat better because I'm limiting all of the junk. We're eating more vegetables and fruits versus chocolate. Can you tell I have an addiction to chocolate? And I think that's where it comes from. So if this is your first time homeschooling, take a deep breath. You've got this. You're the mom, you're the dad. I say moms, but there are more dads recently homeschooling than there have been moms. Don't discount your spouse. There are times that he gets home and I'm like, okay, I need your help. I don't quite understand this math concept, especially if it's talking about shapes. So don't discount him. He's there. It just may be a different time. Homeschool at your convenience. If you're doing the distance learning, make sure that you know the rules for your school and the distance learning. I know where we're at, that they've got to be logged in at a certain time for every class. And that's a little different for homeschoolers because we get to homeschool whenever. We're going to actually change our schedule this year. And that's another anxiety thing for me.
Yeah.
But it's going to be okay. It will work itself out. I'll take my deep breath. I'll say my prayer. And we will go on. And we're going to have a blast this year. Is this year different for us? Yes. Was it going to be different before COVID? Yes, I'm having a high schooler for the first time. Has COVID impacted that? Yes. But God's in control of everything. He is in control of us. He's in control of our house. He is in control of our schooling.
Absolutely.
And I think that as Christians, if we stand upon that, I sort of wonder, as I've got friends and family that's not Christians, and how are they handling the stress of everything without God? I don't know, because I don't think I could put one foot in front of the other at this time without knowing that my path is already laid out for me, because I've already asked God to direct my path.
Exactly.
And you just follow it. Know that things happen and change, and it's okay. That's the great thing about it. Laugh about it. If you make a mistake, I've made several in front of my girls, and we just sort of laugh about it. I'm human, and it lets them know that just because I'm mom doesn't mean I'm perfect, because I'm not. And being real has opened up that communication with them. So it's been nice. And I encourage you to do what you feel appropriate for your family. Because we homeschool, I am not an anti-public person. I'm not an anti-private school person. I believe that each family needs to do what's best for their family unit. For us, it's homeschool, and we make the sacrifices to homeschool. If you're public school and you're adamant about it, then make that decision.
Absolutely.
And know that I support you, whether you homeschool or private school or a homeschooler. Wherever you put your kid in school, I'm going to support you in that, because our children need an education, whether it's a teacher or whether it's you doing the teaching. Our children are the future for us, and so that education is important.
That's right. I think that's about all we've got today. It's great advice, great encouragement. I appreciate you doing this interview with me.
Thanks. I'm so glad I could do this. To be very honest, I am happy. This is nerve-wracking for me, but...
It is. I've been doing this for a little bit, and I'm still not used to it. So
what is the encouragement for a dad?
Encouragement for a dad.
Or for the spouse that works.
Yeah.
But doesn't really...
Be there. Listen. Your spouse is talking to little people all day. Be the grown-up conversation they need when you get home. Be there for them, of course. Encourage them. Help if you can. Be involved. Know what they're studying. That way, if you need to step in or help, or maybe there's an area where you're stronger than your spouse, be willing to be a part of it. Your spouse isn't in this alone. You may be the one outside the home working and providing. Like in our case, it is one income family. I know not every family is doing that. Some parents are getting to work from home, and that's a great thing. And that's what's opening this opportunity up for them. But if you're the one that's out of the home all the time, don't forget that when you get home, you need to be there. And you need to be that encouragement that they need. You need to let them know they're doing a great job. It can be pretty stressful on them. I know my wife all the time, are we doing this right? Am I doing this right? And yes, you're doing great. You're doing wonderful. Look at what they've accomplished. Look at what they've done. Look at where they were and where they're at now. And sometimes she don't get to see it because she's in the mix. And that goes the other way too. If the husband happens to be the one homeschooling, and whichever spouse is doing the actual instruction is in the mix, and it's hard to see the product when all you focus on is one part. So it's good to be the person on the outside of what's going on in there to be able to tell them, you've made a difference. This is working. Keep going. And it, and I know it's got to be encouraging for me to tell her that to that that she's doing a great job. Just take a step back and look at where we were 4 or 5 years ago, and look at where they're at now, and what they're doing in their free time. Our Otis is constantly drawing, writing, coming up with stories, and those were her struggle points, and now it's what she wants to do. And our youngest always having trouble with math and wants to be a chef, and that's a little difficult to be a chef and have trouble with math because there's so many measurements and everything, but she's getting so much better at it, and it's the hands-on things, I think, is what's helping them a lot. And you do everything with them. So
hand her a box of Kinects and see what she can build. Oh, man. And with and without the instructions.
Yeah, and you know, that takes imagination and math and a vision. There's got to, we know both our children have vision. And it's teaching them and guiding them toward their vision so that they're free to explore those things and build on them and just let them loose so that they can do that. And I think that's a big thing, is take your hands off the wheel for a second. If you're the spouse that's not in the mix, if you're the spouse that's having to provide and working, take your hands off the wheel. Trust your spouse. Don't try and control everything. Let your spouse do what they need to do and enjoy the show, because you're going to be amazed. And when you give your children the freedom to explore their imagination in that way, you're going to be so amazed at what they come up with. And for me, it's just, it's awe-inspiring to watch them grow day to day.
I think one of the hardest things for you to learn was we had always given you time when you got home from work,
mm-hmm.
space, so yeah. that you could decompress from your job site.
And that's important too, because you got to get that off your mind.
And so we've always given you that option. But me being the one that was always home and always teaching, there was no decompression.
Right.
And that was the hardest thing for you to learn, was you've got to give me some time.
You've got to be willing to step in and say, okay, you need a break. Go take a bath. Go read a book. Let's drop the kids off at mom's or mother-in-law's or whoever's, and let's go on a date, and it's just adult conversation. That it takes effort, but that's important. You've got to keep that so that they have a decompression time too.
And I think COVID has impacted that, because restaurants were closed.
They are.
And thankfully our kids are older, so we could say, okay, hey, look, we're closing our bedroom door. That means don't come knock to us unless it's an emergency. We will be back, but we're needing this
right.
time. And that gives us that time to talk. It was time for us to discuss some pretty powerful stuff about the next coming year. We do have a sit down and we discuss what we want the next school year to look like.
And as Christians, do some kind of devotional with your spouse. Absolutely. It encourages conversation.
There's so many apps on our phone that gives you that option to where you can do it. We're doing the one right now that is
chronological Bible in a year. And you're talking about jumping book to book to book in one day, because everything, you don't think about it when you first read your Bible, but all this stuff in the Old Testament, the prophets and everything, all happened at the same time of what's going on in the later part of Kings and Chronicles. So it's like you don't even think about it, but when you see it all together, it's pretty eye-opening, and it sparks some pretty interesting conversations.
It does, and our schedules always have been a little conflicting, because in the past, you got up so much earlier, and now your schedule sort of flipped.
Right.
So, us having the online version where it was on an app, and I can read at my time, you can read at your time, and it's got that platform where we communicate back and forth.
Right.
Works for us.
It does.
Instead of us both sitting at the kitchen table with our Bibles in front of us. It might work for other people that way, but it never worked for us.
Right.
We just were not consistent enough to do it. The app makes it consistent.
It really does. And there's so many options out there for different Bible apps, so don't be afraid. Grab one and go for it.
Right. And we like the one we use because it does have the devotions built in.
Yeah.
So we get to pick. And normally I pick one, you pick one, and we go from, we just swap who picks each devotion. Sometimes it's a family oriented or a spouse oriented one,
right,
versus just to gain more knowledge. This is, we decided this would be our year for the chronological. Read the Bible through in a year. And that's a tough one for me. I cannot read the Bible through in a whole year without the push from somebody.
Right. And that's another thing, is when you're doing it with somebody, you get that push. Because you know that other person's done it, because there's a little check by their name, and you're like, oh, I got to do it.
Yeah, and he's always been the one to do it first, because he always got up ahead of me. Now, since this promotion, it's flipped a little bit, and I've gotten my check first, which has been pretty interesting.
So now she's all excited, like, I beat you, and it's become a competition, but we're both in the Bible, so.
Oh, I need it with this one.
Yeah. And so, going from there, I think this has been a pretty interesting interview, and we've got a lot of information there for people.
I'm sure there's more we could have said.
Probably a lot more we could have said. Is there anything you want to close with?
Just know that as a parent, you know your children.
Yeah.
And you know what your family is able to do. What we choose for our family, it's for our family. It's really easy to look at Joe down the street and say, man, look at his house. Look at those new cars. Man, I wish I had that. And it's comparison, because you don't know what's going on inside Joe's house. It's difficult, because you're comparing the inside of you to the outside of your neighbor. And we're made that way. We want to compare each other, and we want to look like everybody else does. Or we want to be different than everybody else does. So you want the difference. I think as long as you're true to who you are, and you're true to your family style, whether it's a one income or two incomes, homeschooling, private schooling, public schooling, whether you are a teacher and you're extremely nervous about going to school and knowing all the new rules that you've got to learn, and you're worried about your children. I know there's many teachers are extremely excited about opening up school, but they're still very nervous about it too. And I think that's very common. I think that we need to be aware of that. It's not one's better than the other, because it's just not. We're so uniquely made.
It's what works best for you and your family.
So stay true to your family.
Mm-hmm.
If you're comfortable doing the public school in school or private school in, I don't know what private schools are doing around here.
Mm-hmm.
And then be comfortable, be confident. There's a lot of gray area right now, because there's just so much unknown.
Yeah.
Prayer.
Prayer.
And be who you are. Be very comfortable. Be comfortable and confident in who you are.
Yeah.
Moms especially, we doubt ourselves when we shouldn't. And then we don't doubt ourselves when we probably should.
Right. Right. So I would say that if we've missed anything that you'd like to know more about or have any questions, you can always email me at brotherjames@brotherjamesparty.com. It's brojames@brojamesparty.com. If you're looking to be curious about what your state requires or anything, don't hesitate. Go to hslda.org.
Or go to your state's Department of Education.
Or your state's Department of Education. They're real easy to find. You can do a search for either one. You can find them. They'll probably be the first thing that pops up. Go to those websites. Look. Explore your options. Don't be afraid to explore your options.
I think a lot of, especially in our area, deadlines have been...
Some, Some
they have
have
already
been.
been passed, so you've got to, for, especially for public school, I think the end of, I think Friday was the last day to make the decision.
Probably. But some deadlines have been extended because of everything that's going on. So look into it, see what there is, see what your options are. Make the best decision for your family. You know what your family needs. You know how your family functions. Make the best decision what's right for your family. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't worry about what all their decisions are going to be, because you've got to take care of yours. And that's got to be your number two priority. Number one priority is always serving God for a Christian. Number two is taking care of the family. And I think that's where we're at right now, especially as a society, is we're not sure what our next step is. And
we answered questions based on our experience.
Yeah.
If you talk to another homeschooler, it would be a different experience.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Like, it's like anything. If you talk to 100 anybody with any condition, you've talked to 100 anybody with any condition, that no two people are ever the same. Just like no two homeschools are the same. So, you know, this is just our experience. It's our background, our advice. If you know somebody in your area that homeschools, talk to them. From our experience, most homeschoolers are willing to help and give you advice, especially if you're serious about it. So, you know, don't be afraid to pursue that avenue if that's what you want. Don't be afraid to pursue public school in any format if that's what you want, because you know what's best for your family. And we're not here to say that one's better than the other. Like my wife said, it's what's right for you, what's right for your family. There's different circumstances for all of us.
Different needs. Each family has their own set of needs.
They do.
And that's got to come first, whether it's a medical need or an emotional need.
Right. So, yeah, I think this has actually been kind of fun. Been an interesting interview. I appreciate y'all for listening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for talking with us, Carissa.
Thanks for listening and asking.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do this again on a different topic.
Maybe.
If you've got topics.
Maybe.
Send them to me.
Yeah. If you've got topics, send them to me. Like I said, my email is brotherjames@brotherjamesparty.com. I look forward to speaking to y'all in the future. Hope to hear from you. Thanks for listening.